This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings again this morning and welcome to our lesson. We trust the program encourages you, challenges you, and blesses you. If you would like to contact me, go to my website, BDC Ministries. That's all one word, lowercase, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address that is given there. And this program can be re-listened to there. It can actually be downloaded and passed on to others from there. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, the old-fashioned way, Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. And we would be happy to take your prayer requests or any comments you have on the program. Now, we've been looking at prominent people in the Bible, that is, people that have spoken to me over the years and whose lives I've looked at as lessons, in some cases positive lessons and in some cases negative lessons with regard to my own relationship with the Lord. And we've come to some of the women in the Bible. Our first pass through the Bible was mostly men. We did have some women in that grouping that we looked at to start with, but I wanted to look at women because many people feel that women are second-class citizens in the Bible, and I could go into the Old Testament and show you why that is the general concept that we have. I think it's a misunderstood aspect of the Old Testament relationship of God to women, but nevertheless, as we look at women in the Bible, they were key to the truths and the blessings that we have today. And so one thing we have done is we've looked at four different Marys. The first one was Mary, actually known as Miriam, Moses' sister. And if we were to say what we really think about Miriam, we'd probably say that she was really used of the Lord in preserving Moses to be a deliverer. We go into her whole story, but yet she felt a sense of competition with Moses, and both she and Aaron made the mistake of trying to take the place that God had given to Moses. And so there was some contention there, but yet she was used of God in making sure that Moses was not one of the males that was killed when Pharaoh was trying to reduce the population of the Israelites in Egypt. And then we've looked at Mary of Bethany, of course, and she is a key figure when it comes to the New Testament because Mary of Bethany shows us a devotion. And we've looked at Mary Magdalene, and again, we've seen Mary Magdalene as a picture of true devotion. And we've also looked at Mary, the mother of the Lord, and some have tried to say that Mary, the mother of the Lord, is the same as one of the other Marys that I've already mentioned, but she was obviously a distinct woman who was chosen by the Lord because he wanted to use her to bring forth the Lord Jesus into the world, and she was, as she said, a handmaiden of the Lord. Now, and Mary, we just want to go back and emphasize, Mary, the mother of the Lord, never claimed to have deity or powers that other people have. She was never elevated as a saint in the Bible above other people who are saved and who are therefore set apart by God and called holy ones or saints. That was never true. She was never one that we were to pray to, but she was indeed a woman who was willing to submit herself to the plan of God, even though likely that made her look like a woman of ill repute. So Mary is not to be prayed to. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So we've looked at these women and seen that they were key people with regard to bringing the Lord into the world and with regard to serving him when he was here on this earth. And of course, Miriam or Mary, the mother or the sister of Moses, was not here to serve him when he was here, but she entered into the program of God to bring about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and the nation that would in fact be the source of his service and ministry when he started preaching in the synagogue in Luke chapter 4 and told us that he was the one who had come to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book on the day of vengeance of our God. And I'm so glad that he has withheld for 2,000 years that day of vengeance. But now, today, I want to look at Mary of Bethany's sister Martha. If Mary was known for sitting at Jesus' feet, if Mary was known for anointing the Lord with an alabaster box of ointment, which was probably worth a year's wages. In the Bible, it was often true that people were paid a penny or a denarius for a day's wage, and she had ointment worth 300 of those days' wages. And so when we look at Mary, we see that willingness to use what could have been used, as we would say, in a productive manner, to use it in worship for the Lord. And we mentioned last time that what she did was considered a waste, not only by Judas, but by the other disciples as well. But it was not a waste as far as God was concerned. He said that wherever the gospel would be preached, what she had done would be told as a memorial for her. Mary of Bethany was very definitely a loyal and loving and interested follower of the Lord Jesus, as she was a devoted follower of him. But we would look at her and we'd say, well, she was kind of lazy. She didn't do a lot. She just spent time with the Lord, but she didn't do a lot. Now, I don't think that's true. I don't think we know what all she did, but she had a sister that did a lot, and that sister was Martha. Martha was a true serving servant. And I want to read you a little about Martha. She, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus apparently were brothers and sisters, and they apparently lived in a house that we read, as we'll go through this, a house that was considered Martha's house, but I also believe it was the house of a Simon, and Simon is referred to in a number of different ways, and some people think it's a number of different Simons, but I think Simon the Pharisee and the one that was called Simon the leper were probably the same, and probably was the person who really owned the house that Martha was in. And I've often wondered if he wouldn't have been Martha's husband, but I can't prove that. So when we come to Martha, we look at Luke chapter 10, which says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." And so here it's called her house, but it was apparently the house that that the Lord often went to in Bethany, that was also the house of Mary and Lazarus, and I suspect of this Simon that may be called by different names, probably, as I said, her husband. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, when we look at Martha, I identify with her because I think she was a bit obsessive-compulsive. She was industrious, and she was probably a perfectionist. And when the Lord came, she considered him an honored guest, and she was going out of her way to set out the good china and to have a fancy meal and to make sure that the Lord was considered to be an honored guest in her home. But Mary was just sitting and enjoying the presence of the Lord, and Mary is sitting there doing all this work because she shows her love by what she does. And so it says, Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." And then the Lord says to Martha, He says unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And I think here's the great lesson for us today. It's easy for us to be busy trying to do that which we believe will honor the Lord, instead of actually listening to the Lord and learning what it is that pleases him and just being in his presence, being endeared to her. Now, the Lord loved Martha. As a matter of fact, when he says, Martha, Martha, that's a way of showing endearment. It's like saying, Martha, dear Martha, dear, or dear Martha. It'd be something like that. And she was, he was not in any way criticizing her for her service and for her desire, and he was showing that he considered her as dear as Mary, but he was also saying, I would be happy to have a McDonald's hamburger and have you be sit here and get to know me. That would be just as important as you showing your love by all the things that you are doing. And I think that there's a little of that in many of us, where we think that by doing, we're going to gain favor with the Lord, when what he really wants is our presence, our love, and our communion. Now, I want you to understand that if we were to come to John chapter 11, where Lazarus is raised from the dead, we read, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, and he loved them equally. They were his friends. We find that out in that chapter as well. But he loved them, and that is in the sense that he was going to show a devotional, sacrificial love for them, and he did that when he raised Lazarus from the dead. But I think he loved them equally, even though, as we read the story, you might think that he favored Mary. I don't think that was true. I think he loved them equally. But he was telling Mary, and he was telling Martha, that you can be so busy that you miss out on blessing. And I believe in industry. I believe that the Bible is clear that we should not be sluggards, that we should do what we're supposed to do. If the Lord calls us to do something, we should do it. I believe in all of that. But I also believe that the Lord wants us to take time to just meditate and be in his presence. We don't have to be doing something all the time. We need to be enjoying communion with him. And we can't do that unless we're truly saved, unless we're truly born again, unless we've seen that this one that these people were worshiping is in fact the very Son of God who came to love us and to die for our sins. And if we've seen that, surely we would like to serve him, and we should, as Martha did, but we should also want to commune with him as Mary did. So the Lord loved Martha, and she's a picture of a beautiful servant, and I'm glad for everyone that serves the Lord in much the same way that Martha did, but don't miss out on the joy of just enjoying his presence. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon our listeners. We give thanks for thy love in our Savior's name. Amen.